Welcome to Straight Talk on Health. I'm your host, Dr. Chet Salasco. Straight Talk on Health is a joint production together with WGVU in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I examine the practical applications of health information, nutrition, exercise, diet, supplements. I look at the science behind them and let you know whether it's something to consider or not. You can check out other things that I do on my website, drchet.com, and please sign up for my free emails. I thought I would focus on exercise physiology in this episode. The first is about the supplement creatine. It got some press because of a recent study that suggests that it doesn't build muscle. The second topic was about the physiology of a 92-year-old champion rower. Just an incredible research paper. But let's start with creatine. What exactly is creatine? Creatine is a naturally occurring chemical your body makes by combining glycine, arginine, and methionine. It's primarily used in energy production as a precursor to the manufacture of adenosine triphosphate, ATP for short, in your body. In fact, it's your immediate energy supply. Creatine binds with the phosphate molecule and can readily give it up to an ADP, adenosine diphosphate, and what do they make? ATP. The problem is that you only have about a 7 to 30 second supply at maximal effort, and I really do mean maximal effort in your muscles. Fortunately, your body shifts into other forms of energy production, so you never really run out of the ability to make more energy. Creatine is often used to help increase muscle mass in people who train with weights, and that's the focus of the paper I'm going to review. Researchers in Australia recruited male and female subjects who had been sedentary and had not done any form of resistance training or creatine supplementation in the past year. They collected data on 33 controls and 30 experimental subjects for a 13-week creatine supplementation and resistance training study. The objective was to see if there were actual changes in muscle mass and lean body mass within the resistance training and supplementation program. Prior research had shown that creatine may only change water levels, as creatine does increase fluid levels in muscle. The tool they used to assess fluid levels was DEXA, dual X-ray absorptometry, to scan for lean body mass before the study began, after a 7-day wash-in period with creatine, and again after the 13-week resistance training program. What they found was that lean body mass increased during the wash-in period in the supplementation group before the resistance training program began. The difference in lean body mass was maintained throughout the resistance training program. In response to the program, both groups, control and experimental, increased lean body mass by 4.4 pounds after accounting for the initial difference in body water. Therefore, they concluded that creatine may not contribute to increase in lean body mass when used in a resistance training program because of the lack of difference between the supplement and the placebo group once the initial lean body mass was accounted for. Or maybe it really does. To their credit, they pointed out that the small difference in fluid levels were within the standard error of the measurement of the method. Still, they maintained, because the difference was maintained throughout the resistance training part of the study, the benefit of creatine to muscle gain should be assessed with higher doses. I'm all for more research, but they made some errors in logic and variables they tested. The initial error was in their subject group. Using both men and women was a good idea, as too many studies are done without female subjects. The problem was using such a diverse age group of 18 to 50 years of age. Research has shown that muscle loss due to age can begin as early as 40 to 50 years of age. Because they had so few subjects at a total of 63, that means that ideally it would mean 15 men and 15 women in each group. Dividing those subjects into, let's say, under 40 and over 40 means as few as 6 to 7 subjects in each group. And that's just not enough subjects to prove their point, especially with such little difference in the total body water. they also forgot one of the basic tenets of muscle physiology. The force a muscle can generate is directly proportional to its cross-sectional area for the most part. The fact that creatine increases the cross-sectional area of the muscle, albeit temporarily, might allow the people using creatine to lift heavier weights throughout the study. And this was only a 12-13-week training program in non-exercisers. A better approach might have been to use currently lifting subjects who were not using any type of dietary supplement. It could take a lot longer, maybe years, for the muscle mass to separate due to creatine from users to non-users. And then throw in the age factor, and there really is a lot of research to be done. But one thing that I may have been able to shed some light on this, where was the strength data? Looking at lean body mass is looking at a combination of factors, but strength is strength. How much weight can you actually lift in several lifts, like the deadlift, the squat, and the bench press? You can't do such an intensive study and not measure the simplest variable. It's a rookie mistake. I know because I did it. When I turned in my dissertation for review, I didn't put in the exercise data, the change in fitness levels. Let me say the discussion was short, and I quickly saw the merit of putting the data into my dissertation. I had it, but chose not to put it in. Rookie mistake. Creatine is a natural substance that may be beneficial for a variety of things besides muscle growth. I use it every day because I lift to increase strength, but also because it benefits the skin, muscles, and other organs as well. I don't think this study is definitive, and unless you can't take it, I think everyone over 40 years of age probably should take about 5 grams of creatine a day. But as always, check with your physician. Let's turn to a study, really a case report, published in the Journal of Applied Physiology. Researchers wanted to get a profile of a 92-year-old champion rower. Now, before I get into his fitness details, the story behind the man goes something like this. He was a baker for most of his life. He began rowing at 73 years of age, and before that, did not have any real structured training or exercise program. He was a lightweight, that means 165 pounds, 2,000-meter master indoor rower, and 4-time world champion, having won in 2007, 2017, 21, and 22. His diet was healthy, and he had developed a consistent training program, 30 kilometers per week, or about 18 miles, which was 40 minutes a day on the rowing ergometer. He supplemented the aerobic work with 2 to 3 days per week of resistance training specific to rowing. What was his fitness like, especially compared to men of other ages? Well, he was 5'4 and about 165 pounds, just about right in his weight for height. When it comes to lung and heart function, while they seem to be a little low at a sustained competitive O2 capacity of 21 ml per kg per minute, there are really no comparative data with other 90-year-old athletes. But relatively speaking, the authors speculated that at a fitness level of a 40-year-old, what they didn't really say was the 40-year-old was in the average fitness category. But listen up. That doesn't take anything away from the amazing fitness level of a 92-year-old man. And it should mean a couple of things to you and I. First, it's never too late to begin a fitness program. Remember? He was 73. True, this was unifocal in purpose, using an indoor rowing machine, but it doesn't change his remarkable fitness level. Second, he was consistent in his training once he began. He consistently exercised for over 20 years, building on what he'd done before, but not going crazy nuts with his training. In other words, he didn't do it to extremes. He just plodded along. And that's a fine lesson for everyone, regardless of age, but especially those of us over 70. Absolutely amazing. And that's it for this episode. If you like this podcast, please hit the like button and tell your friends and colleagues about it. Until next time, this is Dr. Chet Zelasko saying, health is a choice. Choose wisely today and every day.